Good CEOs build and maintain successful companies. Great CEOs build and maintain influential ones. We're connecting with successful business leaders on how to create the impact within your organization that transforms it into one of influence at the CEO Roundtable.
Welcome to the CEO Roundtable podcast. I'm your host, Kate Ahern. Today, I'm joined by Gary McCarthy, CEO of McCarthy Burns. Thanks for being here, Gary.
Oh, thanks for having me, Kate. Yep. Nice to see you.
Yeah, nice to see you as well. I'm excited to learn a little bit more about your background and also more about McCarthy Burns and all of the things that have brought you here today.
It's quite a journey. Let's put it that way. So I guess we should start at the beginning. I was born and raised in the Bronx, New York. You'll hear that in my voice. You probably already have heard it
a little bit.
Yeah. I always joke about it. When I go back to New York, it's like nails on a blackboard listening to people from Brooklyn. Let's put it that way. So I almost feel like I'm starting to pronounce my R's better. I'm working on it as hard as I can.
I sense that.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, born and raised there. My parents, my dad was a World War II Marine, joined the New York City Police Department in 1947. And interestingly, he couldn't get on the job for 2 years because he got discharged immediately. He did all of the Pacific Theater. He still had blood in his urine from when he got shot on Iwo Jima. He got shot 3 times and blown up a few times. My mom was a registered nurse. I like to talk about the fact that they're part of that greatest generation that Tom Brokaw wrote that phenomenal book about. Growing up in the Depression, going through World War II and just carrying on like the way you're supposed to do it. I like to contrast that with where we are today, where people need safe spaces. I think my dad called those foxholes, and they weren't so safe. That's where I come from. I'm the youngest of 3 sons. Joined the NYPD in 1981. My career has spanned 42 years, which is a little bit intimidating for me now when I think about how long it's been. And I got very fortunate. I joined at a really good time. And I was able to catch promotion exams consecutively, sergeant's test, then a lieutenant's test, then a captain's test. And I thought that was the end of my career because I'm not very political. As a matter of fact, I have very little PC, let's put it that way. And I always struggle with that because I played football. I was a linebacker, and I like to say that being a linebacker isn't just a position on a football field. It's a way of life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I take things on head on. I got very fortunate when I went through the ranks in the NYPD, even though I wasn't hooked up in any fashion. I got really fortunate that once the tests were over, I ended up getting pushed into some community meetings as a precinct commander, and I was up in front of Bill Bratton, who was the police commissioner. Rudy Giuliani was the mayor at the time, and I got recognized that they thought that I had a little something, and they gave me consecutively more difficult assignments until finally, not finally, but Howard Safer was the police commissioner after Bill Bratton, and he promoted me to deputy commissioner operations for the NYPD, putting me in the top 4 of the biggest police department in the country. And in that position, it's a very natural thing for me, and I didn't realize I had a skill set like this, that I can take apart a problem and put it back together and make it work better. I ran New York's crime strategy for 7 years.
Wow.
A lot of work, a lot of hard work, but I had a lot of fun doing it. As I look back, I sometimes say, man, I wish I had more fun. But you know what? The work was fun. And getting to meet the people that I've met, the experiences I've had, the things I went through, I like to say that if you're going to own a restaurant, you have to first work in the kitchen,
mm-hmm.
right, or bus tables. And I did that. I love telling the story that when I was going on the police department, one of my college friends, his dad was a captain in the NYPD. And he told me, Gary, he says, my dad says that he could probably get you to whatever precinct you want to go to after your training's up. So this is just before cell phones. So I call Howie Kaplan, and I said, Howie, I want to go to the 46th precinct in the Bronx. He says, okay, I got it, 46. Calls me back 20 minutes later. He says, did you say 46? I said, yeah. He says, my dad wants to know if you actually took the psychological exam because nobody asks to go to the 46th mm-hmm. precinct. All you got to do is screw up and you end up there. And it was the best decision I made in my police career, because I threw myself into policing. It was a very busy precinct that I worked in. And that set me up for the future, because if you go to a slow precinct or district, as we would say here in Chicago, as a police officer, and then as a sergeant or a lieutenant or a captain, you get thrown into a real busy place. You're not going to have your legs underneath you. And I learned the job from the bottom up. Very fortunate to get to the position that I was in. After 25 years in the NYPD, I got recruited by Cory Booker, the mayor of Newark at the time, to go out to Newark, New Jersey. I worked there and ran that department for 5 years. And then I got recruited by Rahm Emanuel to come out here, and I ran CPD for 5 years. And I like to joke that I worked for the Mount Rushmore of mayors, right? Rudy Giuliani, Mike Bloomberg for five years.
Truly, what a lineup.
Cory Booker and Rahm Emanuel. I've seen all different styles, all different methods of getting things done, and really interesting stuff, let's put it that way.
Yeah, and I think especially in your business and being in law enforcement, experience is equally as important as a natural skill set, being leadership and attention to detail and just the general interest in protecting the lives of others.
Sure.
Are there any specific experiences that stand out to you over the last 40-plus years that have been really pivotal moments? I'm sure there are many.
Yeah, I joke about it sometimes. I've been through riots. I've been through hurricanes. As a matter of fact, I was the hurricane coordinator for Brooklyn South when a hurricane hit New York City, and it completely missed Brooklyn South, but it destroyed my house where my wife and kids were.
I don't think
my ex-wife has gotten over that yet. But blackouts, it's pretty intimidating when you're in a city, urban environment, and there's no lights, and you're driving around. It's really eerie. That was interesting, but the granddaddy of them all was 9/11. I was deputy commissioner at the time, and I got to ground zero just as the second plane hit the South Tower. And something that I'm never going to forget, I could still hear it. A police officer on a citywide channel got on the radio and said, "Central, notify the military. A second plane just hit the South Tower. We need air cover. We're under attack." And I looked at the radio and I'm like, how do we notify the military? Does anybody have a phone number for me? Let me know. So that was the start of the day. And people don't understand this, but the day was bad, really bad. But it was the aftermath that was worse. Recovering bodies, recovering friends' bodies, funerals, dealing with the families. We lost 23 officers that day, 343 firefighters, 47 Port Authority police officers, and each one of them had a funeral. There was one day that I went to 3 funerals. I actually only missed one because 2 of them were at the same time. And unfortunately, the families would have memorial services because there was nothing recovered to have a funeral. And then 6 months later, something would be identified through DNA, and now they would have a funeral.
Wow.
So sometimes we had to do it twice. I set up a command post that day, which you want to talk about a lesson learned. I recognized the potential for collapse, but I didn't realize the expanse of what it would be. It was 22 acres.
Wow.
It was 22 acres, and I thought being a half a block north of the North Tower was okay, but the South Tower fell basically directly on the building that I was in, where I had brought Mayor Giuliani, the police commissioner at the time, Howard Bernard Kerrick, and basically the upper echelon of the NYPD and city government all at the same time. We got trapped in that building for a little while. Can't really tell you how long it was, but it was quite an experience. When we finally got out, the chief of department, Joe Esposito, and I were trying to figure out where to go, and we decided to go to City Hall Park, which is a fenced-in area, and it's low-lying, so we figured you couldn't fly planes into it.
Mm-hmm.
So we were going to set up a perimeter, basically, because we didn't know what was going to happen next. And a really weird thing happened where all of a sudden we knew that all the planes in the country were grounded. Mayor Giuliani was about 10 feet away from me talking to the vice president when the building fell on top of us, the first collapse. So we knew that all the planes in the country were grounded. And in the middle of Joe and I, Joe Esposito and I, trying to talk through what we should be thinking about, we hear planes. And it was like, oh, my God. And then I saw two F-16s going wingtip to wingtip up the Hudson River in between the buildings. And three thoughts in a nanosecond. First one was, oh, my God, more incoming. The second one was, oh, thank God there was. And the third was, my God, military's protecting New York City.
Wow.
I would say that's probably the most pivotal moment in my life, being there and having fortune to survive and going through that experience. It makes you better.
Yeah.
It makes you better. It's not, it doesn't get any easier. And people don't know this, or a lot of people don't know it. We've lost probably 10 times the number of officers that we lost that day from 9/11 related illnesses up to today. In fact, my partner, Joe Esposito, just passed away about 4 months ago. And I went back for his funeral. I've been back for a number of them. But so I would call that, yeah, it's probably the biggest moment.
And I feel like that's the unspoken part of the job, is the loss and being able to navigate life, having seen some of the greatest tragedies.
The trauma. The trauma is overwhelming. And that's why I say the aftermath was worse. We recovered bodies for months and months, and dealing with the families was difficult. But the thing that came out, one of the things that came out of it, there was a lot of celebrities that came down and would spend time with the families because they took up residence in police headquarters downstairs in the auditorium, 23 families. And I couldn't believe it. The guy who was the most reverent, respectful, caring individual, Deion Sanders.
Wow.
Nobody would have, I wouldn't have thought it, but he couldn't have been better. Very impressive. I became a big fan.
Yeah, naturally.
I didn't like his antics on the football field. I didn't like the flashiness and all of that. I'm not just old, I'm old school. My dad taught us that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the biggest experience of my life. And then all the things that I learned, you don't even know what you know sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like intuitively, something will happen and you'll know how to handle it. And then other times it'll be like, I don't know what to do here, but let's try that.
Right.
And that got me through a lot of different things. Look at the NATO summit here in Chicago when I was the superintendent. I got here in May of 2011. And about 2 months later, the mayor, Rahm, told me that we were going to get the G8 and the NATO summit. Now, we had Democratic National Conventions in New York City, Republican conventions, and I had been involved in them. And there's some pretty funny stories that come out of that that I probably shouldn't share here. But we trained for that, the events in New York City, for almost 2 years. I remember when Ray Kelly was the police commissioner and we were getting a convention, 2 years we put together our plan. And now I had 10 months here in Chicago.
My gosh.
And what we did was we trained, we equipped our people, we practiced, we supervised, and we led. You mentioned leadership before, Kate, and to me leadership is an incredibly important trait, and I've studied leadership. My dad was, I told you, a World War II Marine, and Chesty Puller, a legendary Marine, 5 Navy crosses from buck private to lieutenant general, was his battalion commander. And he used to tell stories about Chesty Puller lighting his pipe on Guadalcanal to draw sniper fire so they could find out where the snipers were. And that, his platoon sergeant was a fellow named John Bassalone, who is a legendary Marine. He got the Medal of Honor and Navy Cross. He asked to go back to the front and got killed on Iwo Jima. I've studied leadership, and I try to emulate it and be calm in crisis. And when you go through a lot of crisis, you learn how to become calm. Initially, the first time that I heard shots fired, I probably got scared. But by the time, if I hear shots fired now, I become alert. I don't become scared. And I focus. And it's almost like it slows down. It's like a high-speed camera.
Yeah.
So that's something else that I wouldn't trade for anything. I wouldn't trade anything in my career. I like to say if I write a book, it would probably be something along the lines of, if I could do it again, I would do it again.
Yeah.
It's that simple. I probably wouldn't play football for as long as I did because that hurts as you get much older.
Talk about the team building and leadership qualities. It starts from day one and on the football field.
Yeah.
And today, I know with McCarthy Burns, you've built this incredible team of law enforcement professionals with some of the most impressive accolades I've ever seen.
Yeah, we've put together a great team. And it's funny that you mentioned the football leading to these things, because it does. I talk about it all the time. Learning how to play your position, hard work, dedication, blood, sweat, and tears, teamwork.
Yeah.
And that's stuff that I took into policing with me. I did it in New York. I did it in Newark, New Jersey. Building your team, same thing here in Chicago. We set up something called a career path, which I'm not sure Chicago ever had. It's always been more of a game of chutes and ladders, depending on who you knew. And I think that's what it's returned to also, quite frankly, which really saddens me, because the learning experience and executive development doesn't come quickly. It comes over time and things you learn. So we here with McCarthy Burns, Bobby Burns, my partner, is 29 years in law enforcement. Deputy Chief. We've got Joe DeLopez, who was chief in Winnetka. I know Joe when we met in, I think it was 2003, when he and I were both finalists for the CPD superintendent's job, and Phil Klein got it. That was of us. And here we are working together now. Joe went on to Winnetka. He ran that police department. Tony Scarpelli was the chief in Skokie, went up through the Skokie Police Department for years. So we've got a great network. We've got experts and experience. That's the way I look at it. Kevin Rule from the deputy chief in the sheriff's police, just incredible. And doing the assessments that we do, because we've really got about four components to our business. We've got security assessments, right? We do it for businesses, we do it for schools, we do it for churches. Kevin really leads that team. We have Terry Williams, retired deputy chief from CPD. And all have skill sets in different disciplines, right? Kevin Rule has this putting together the target hardening and the nuts and bolts of these assessments that we do. We have retired homicide investigators who are doing litigation support for attorneys. My wife is a lawyer, and that's pretty much how it started. We talked about, you got a case, you're going to trial, where do you get your information from? And it turns out that we're doing great jobs really helping people with their cases. We do expert testimony. Ironically, I have a situation that's really, to me, ironic, on two sides of the pursuit policy. On one side, where they should have pursued somebody, they didn't. And as a result, somebody really got hurt badly in a shooting during a robbery. And on the other side, where people shouldn't have pursued for traffic violations, and unfortunately children got killed.
Wow.
On both sides of that debate, I'm now doing expert witness testimony, which is pretty interesting if you think about it.
It really is.
So investigations, we do training for workplace violence. We tie that into the assessments that we're doing. We're now doing law enforcement assessments. We've got two separate police departments that we're doing assessments on as we speak. Litigation support and physical security, we do a little bit of it, but for the most part, our bread and butter right now is in that world of investigations and working on ensuring places are safe where people are working, because you see workplace violence all the time. We just had a situation. I'm presently the chief in Willow Springs, Illinois, and we had a former employee, not from the police department, but from the village, took a picture and posted it and said, "I'm planning my revenge." And it was a picture of Village Hall. It's, "Whoa, time out. Let's go. Let's talk."
Yeah.
So we went out and sat down and straightened that out. He thought it was a joke. He ended up realizing that it really wasn't funny.
And in this world, we hear stories like that all of the time. I think more now than ever, it's so important to have strategy at the very least, but truly a plan and people that support you that can guide you through what an unexpected attack or fear-inducing incident may.
I'm going to switch to a baseball saying, you have to know what you're going to do with the ball before it gets hit to you. And it's amazing how many places, and even law officers, lawyers, they need these things because they're dealing with domestic violence cases sometimes.
Right.
You don't know when a husband or a wife is going to show up and is going to be a problem. So workplace violence is really important. And the training and to have a plan, the simplest thing, like having an evacuation plan. Hey, listen, I learned the hard way. You have to have an evacuation plan. And we're doing it in schools, very successful right now at the products that we're putting out. I'm very proud of it. And it's because of the team that we put together. And like I said, there's other things like cybersecurity. Look at what just happened at Lurie Children's Hospital.
Right.
All of these different parts of security are things that we're dealing with. And after running crime strategy, after being at the top of three major police departments in this country for 17 years, it's an expertise. It really is.
Yeah.
And it's just come so naturally. Building the team, getting the different disciplines all to work hand in hand, because you need a wrench now and you need a hammer later. And you have to have all of those tools in your toolbox. And we do at McCarthy Burns. Very proud of this team. And I can't imagine, I don't even want to do the math on how many years of law enforcement experience
we
have with this team. Yeah. I'm likely the most senior, let's put it that way, with 42. But I never thought it would happen. I remember when I went on and I looked at the sergeants, I said, these cranky old men, I don't know if I could do that. But the sergeant's test came up and I hit it, and I knew the lieutenant's test was coming after that. And if I made that, the captain's test right after that. And I thought that was the end of my career. And you just never know what's going to happen next.
Right. When you've evolved and seen just about every single side of law enforcement, dealing with natural disasters, terrorist attacks, even down to the days as a police officer in New York. There are so many sides that I think we don't see, and how all of those experiences really play into what is now an expertise in this incredible team that you've built with McCarthy Burns.
And if I had to pick out my favorite thing to do, it's to go on patrol.
Really?
Oh, God, it's wonderful to get out and talk to people.
Yeah.
Even bad guys. They're like, hey, McCarthy, can we take a picture? I'm like, no, we're not taking a picture. We can talk.
Right.
But, yeah, and taking guns off the street. Every gun that you take off the street is an armed encounter with an armed criminal. And having, at one point, they thought that my initials stood for gun magnet, not Gary McCarthy. When I was in New York, I was making, it's like they were just jumping into the back of my car. It was crazy. And even out here, I was involved in a number of gun arrests. And some of those, I would go on patrol either Friday or Saturday nights, and I would go to the difficult neighborhoods. Wouldn't spend a lot of time downtown, let's put it that way. And the best conversations that I had with police officers were on street corners in places like Austin and Englewood at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
And I always had I would see a car stop and we'd turn around and they'd like wave. And then they'd go, oh my God, boss, hey, how you doing? I'm like, pay attention. We'll talk after this. Let's get through your car stop and then we'll talk. But being out there in the community with people who were putting their lives at risk and seeing the good, the bad, and the ugly all at the same time, it's been quite a ride.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. And this is a natural evolution running this business. Certainly I got one of the best partners in the world in Bobby Burns. And it was happenstance that he and I happened to run into each other at the times that we did, and we merged companies, and here we are. It's happening.
Yeah. It really is such an incredible story.
Yeah. Rather be lucky than good. That's a saying in golf, right?
Yeah.
Work hard and keep your nose to the grindstone, and sometimes you don't get a flat nose. You actually succeed, right? And if I would have dreamed when I was 10 or 11 years old playing stickball in the Bronx that I would run three major police departments in the country and be in law enforcement for 42 years and end up in Chicago with now a 7-year-old from my second marriage, I would have said you were crazy. And here I am.
Yeah.
So it's all good.
And given the many years and many experiences, is there anything that comes to mind as the biggest lesson you've learned in this all?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But the biggest lesson I've learned is, I believe it's an Einstein quote of, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. If what you're doing isn't working, stop doing it and do something else. But then again, I'm dense. So, yeah, I did get married a second time. Yes, I have gone to different police departments and tried to do the same thing over and over again. And for the most part, it succeeded.
Yeah, that's all we hope for.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Gary. It's been great catching up and hearing everything. And we're very excited to see what McCarthy Burns accomplishes in the time to come.
Thank you, Kate. Thanks for having me.